You're listening to Scratching and Thriving, a lifestyle podcast hosted by two dope professionals who are passionate about empowering people to thrive. I'm Dr. A.
And I'm Brandon. And we are two longtime friends who met about 20 years ago during undergraduate studies. And we took two different paths in life. I'm a healthcare executive and lifestyle guru.
And I'm an educator and entrepreneur.
And we are here to bring you the content that will help you thrive.
Hey, this is attorney Simone Redwine, and you're listening to Scratching and Thriving with Brandon and Dr. A.
Well, good day.
Hey, Brandon.
How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. I am good.
Excellent.
So, are you into reality TV?
Every now and again.
Okay. Because there's a couple of new shows I like that's out, but I try not to get too into it. Because it's, number one, it can be a time suck. And just, you know, we're just so busy, so much going on. And I'll be entranced in it and sit there for hours getting nothing accomplished. So I try to stay away from it. Have you seen Ready to Love?
I have. The Last Resort, the third season.
Yes. So, Simone Redwine. She's something.
She's a firecracker.
Ain't she? That girl's something else with herself.
Honey, so, you know where you stand with her. She
walks
telling the truth.
Facts. And I love the fact that she is so educated, yet just down to earth. That's what's so funny about it. And that she ought to be a comedian.
I'm telling you, she is funny.
She is. So you know we reached out to her.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Of course. And, you know, she was so gracious enough to come speak with us.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to hear about her experiences in her legal career and talk about, you know, her experience on the show and has she found love and, you know, her thoughts about how love has changed.
And I like her insight on relationships. And she is so funny to me. I mean, I don't think I have laughed that hard in a long time.
I remember on the show, she talked about how, you know, you come to the table prepared, come ready for love, hence the show. You know, you can't come and you haven't done your own soul searching and your own reflection. You have to come to a relationship or a situation ready for love. Come healed, come reflective, come prepared to love someone and be in a relationship with someone. So I definitely think her outlook is interesting.
Yeah, and I echo what you and her both said about that, because if you're not whole, then you can't make someone else whole or add anything else to someone else's life until you get your stuff together. So yeah, that's huge.
Absolutely.
That's huge. So with that being said, welcome, Simone.
Hi. How y'all doing?
How are you?
Good, good. Just getting into Dallas from Houston, so I'm good. Like, literally.
Good.
I'm going to walk in and make a drink.
Oh, that's fantastic. I have me a few, too. Welcome to Scratching and Thriving. Tell us about you. Tell us how Simone's story began. Tell us how about all that.
Got you. So, I'm an attorney. I'm based in Houston, Texas. Right. I was born and raised in Dallas. And as a little girl, I always wanted to be an attorney because I wanted to be able to help people and I didn't want to be poor anymore. So I thought those two together. So basically, I graduated from the University of Pittsburgh with a degree in finance and then earned a scholarship to Cornell Law, where I actually focused on real estate law primarily as well as criminal. And today I own my own practice where I focus on accident and injury law, as well as expungement law. And I really love those. They're very different, but they allow me to get instant gratification for my clients and help others and the community almost immediately, particularly with the expungement practice. And at the same time, I frequently joke and talk about how, because my job is very high stress and competitive and so forth, I tend to save all my good decisions for my clients and the bad ones for my
life. Hey, I ain't mad at you. So a little secret about me and Adrian. we went to an HBCU and both got political science degrees. And I think the intention was to go to law school.
Yeah, definitely.
But we went several different routes. Mm-mm. Several different routes. So kudos to you for keeping the path and keeping going towards law, because I did a year and I was like, oh, I can't. Did you ever go to law school?
Oh, heck no.
No, I had applied and then they sent me a bill. I didn't have any debt from undergrad. So they sent me a bill and I was like, oh, no, I got to find something else to do.
I did 1 year and I was like, no, this ain't for me.
Oh, you're a what? You did. Okay. What was it about that 1 year that made you say, no, thanks?
So transparency. I couldn't stay awake in class.
Medication like the rest.
Look, I wasn't rich yet. I wasn't there. And this was early 2000.
I wasn't either. You know, I was livid. I didn't find out that the ones that were on law review, which was Dean's List, I didn't learn the reason the way they got on there is they'd have their little rich daddy's friends write them notes, say they needed Adderall. Okay. And then in the turn, they also got 1.5 times more time. Everyone else. We had 3-hour exams. They get 5 hours and they get to take it in a private room. I wanted to punch the face. So I was like, wait a minute, I'm smarter than you. I knew I had to be because you say too many stupid things. I knew it.
So
I just didn't have any pool.
I couldn't stay awake was my problem. I really tried. I did.
That is so funny.
I couldn't stay
awake. It is very dry.
Look, I was in there snowing and slobbing on the folks' desk. I said, this ain't it. This ain't it, y'all.
Well, I used to argue with my professors as to whether or not I really needed to attend because I had better things to do. First of all, I had just found out, no, listen, for real. First of all, I had just found out I was cute about a year before I started law school. And I said, well, guys, you know, that was back when video girls and stuff were really making money, when they could pay their utilities and stuff without being booty butt neck. And so
Yeah, because me and you about the same age. So, yeah, we were around the same time.
Right. So, for me, I wouldn't go to class that much. And they would say, well, you can't sit for the exam. I said, that's illogical. You need to let me sit for it. If I can pass without attending your class, I think this says more about you than me.
You was a firecracker.
And there it is.
Oh, God.
Why did you do that?
You are a riot. You need to add comedian.
Absolutely. So,
oh, goodness.
So what drove you? Well, you kind of told us what drove you to the legal field. Mm-hmm. So what drove you to this type of law, though?
Oh, absolutely. I came to learn as a little girl that I was an excellent storyteller. Okay. And what I learned about this type of law, accident and injury, and even criminal law, is honestly, whoever tells a better story wins. And so what I realized I had a gift of doing was telling stories for people who couldn't speak up for themselves in an eloquent way. So what I like about accident and injury law and wrongful death as well, I am basically telling the story of the facts, of the injuries, of the accidents, how they occurred, and telling it in a way that gets my client the justice that they're entitled to. And I also, one of the things that I like and what lends me to it is I've always been very militant. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm light skinned. I don't know what it is. You either got two type of light skins, the ones who think they white, and you got the other ones who are like the most militant ones, you know, like the Sean King and so forth. Anyway, I've always been very militant. And what I realized with accident and injury law is that when we are given, we as in African-Americans or minorities are given low settlements, if we take those, then we reduce the value for all the other Black people who have similar car accidents because they frequently do it by zip code.
Oh.
Yeah, they do it by zip code.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm.
That is.
Absolutely. So what I realized is they would do this funny business over here, for example. I have never seen them offer an African-American or a Hispanic family when your car is in an accident and it's the other people's fault, money for the diminution of the value of their car, which is basically, you know, the fact that two cars being identical, if one car has been in an accident, when you get ready to sell it back, you're going to get less money for it. They never give it to us. When you're in the rich neighborhood, they always, and that can be thousands of dollars. I had one client, that was $10,000. $10,000. Yep, it was like a new Escalade.
I was going to say, was it a Maserati?
No, it was like a brand new Escalade truck. Like, I'm talking a month off the lot.
Wow. Type thing.
And absolutely. So I like the competitiveness, but I also like the strategic, and there's a creative aspect to it. I creatively approach the settlements in the storytelling aspect such that you don't want this. You don't want these problems over here. And they know it. And I'm glad that I've created that where they say, oh, here come the crazy red wine girl. Oh, we don't feel like, just give us some money. So just shut up. And
you
go
know
away.
What I feel like that.
Good. That's what I want
when
you
I walk
to
in
do.
The boardroom, they be like, here you go.
So Simone,
that's what you want.
Simone, tell us about your most memorable case. Because you've been at this for what, about a decade, 10 years, 12 years?
Yeah, 13. Yep. Absolutely. So my most memorable case is a case of a little girl, a little black kindergartner at a high school outside of Dallas in Frisco, Texas, where she swallowed a pushpin at school. So, of course, the first question is, well, why did she have access to a pushpin? But she swallowed a pushpin at school and then died about 4 hours later. Well, they're trying to say, that she died from swallowing a pushpin. Now, I made B's in science, but what I do know is if you're going to die from choking, it happens within minutes, not
correct.
Hours.
Correct. You have 5 minutes between brain death sets in, trust me.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. What I ultimately learned was that the school had administered an oxygen device to her that was supposed to save lives, but had actually been recalled by the FDA, and that she died because that device malfunctioned as they were trying to give her oxygen. Mm-hmm. And that instead of the chemicals combining to give her oxygen, they gave this caustic burning chemicals that she inhaled and shot down her lungs and burned her alive over the course of 4 hours. Yes, this product was recalled by the FDA, but was in schools across America. The company lied and didn't tell any of the schools. They thought they could quickly fix it and prevent the problem. Well, I ended up bankrupting them. They did everything to try to destroy me, including they personally sued me for extortion and a bunch of other made up stuff, as well as they sued the ABC News network that ran a story on my case. Well, I'm very happy to say I bankrupted the whole publicly traded company because the FDA found out that exactly what I said was true. So within 6 months of me taking on the case, the FDA told everyone nationally, stop using this product, which then bankrupted them. We're still in litigation, but on settling and resolving it. But what made me super happy about it is that no other kids are going to be injured by this product. Because the thing of the product was, because it was an oxygen device, every time it would malfunction, they'd say, oh, this person wasn't injured from the device. They were going to die anyway because they didn't have oxygen. No, HEPA. No, HEPA. That is not how that worked. More than that, the device was burning up people. It burnt up the school nurses, vice principals, all these people when it would explode and erupt because the chemicals were so volatile. And most importantly, if that had frequently, I've been told by different scientists that if that product had been on the market today, there would be so many individuals who would probably be buying it right now because of COVID. Mm. And with COVID, you have trouble breathing. So you like to keep things like this around, and how many more people would have died? It also really helped the family because the mother knew that how they said her baby girl died wasn't how she died. In fact, the school nurse, the way I broke the case open was because the school nurse who was administering the device to her, when it malfunctioned, the chemicals went in the air. The school nurse had to be transported to a different hospital for respiratory distress because she couldn't breathe just from smelling the chemicals in the air. So when they said, oh, no, little girl died of pushpin, how do you explain the fact that people who just breathed the air in the nurse's station when this thing malfunctioned had to go to the hospital, too? So I think that was one of my, I mean, it was probably the most fulfilling because it was the most complex. And there were 3 or 4 other attorneys who turned it down. Ben Crump had the case first. He turned it down and said, there's no case here. There were a few of them. He didn't realize at the time the product hadn't been recalled yet from the FDA. And he was looking at it from the aspect of the school's liability. Mm-hmm. But I actually do FDA recall litigation. Oh, okay. FDA recall litigation. So once I knew that that device was monitored by the FDA, and once I learned that the school nurse had to go, I said, oh, no, we got something here. And I just took on the case to give the mother closure to help her be able to process her depression and have some understanding as to how baby girl passed. And lo and behold, we discovered this whole can of worms.
Look at you.
You talking about Fearless.
Ooh, right. I need to put your number in my phone. Wait a minute.
Okay.
Do it. Go ahead.
Because I don't want no problem.
Yeah, call
me. Listen.
No. See, and I'm a very nice girl. I had to tell people I'm a very nice girl. I don't give no problems and I don't give them no
problems. I know that's right.
So, okay.
I am.
You went from high-powered attorney and judge to reality star. How did it happen? We're going to go there. How did it happen?
Every good story starts that way.
Right, and I got all evening. Let's go.
So what happened was last year I had this raggedy boyfriend. Okay, well, I had a few raggedy boyfriends last year. I had like three. Not raggedy, raggedy.
Raggedy, yes.
Doctor, you ever had one that was
yes.
Raggedy? Okay, so I had a regular one. And I was like, look, I got to get out of dating in Dallas. So my best friend convinced me, you know, you need to just go on and take your talents to Houston. Because every time you go to Houston, you get you a new boyfriend. And I thought, you know, I really do. That's a good idea. So at the beginning of the year, I decided to move to Houston to find love. Lo and behold, as I did, my homegirl said, you know, there's this show that's casting. I said, what show? She said, Red Love. I said, great, that's my favorite show. So I fill out them little questions. I said, girl, let me go up on here, you know, because I was just like, oh, this is good, you know, like perfect timing. And basically I filled out the questions. And I think they at first they probably thought I was like a little bit loony toony. And then they said they liked my candor and my self-awareness. Cause I was like, they were like, why do you think you're single? And I was like, well, it's a bunch of stuff wrong. Let me give you the top three. They weren't quite ready for that response. And I said, well, look, even though, because at the end of the day, there's something is wrong with everybody.
Right.
But I think it's refreshing when what I did was I got myself to the things that are wrong with me are things I still like about myself. That I'm willing to work on, that I'm upfront about. Like, for one of them is I'm real messy. I'm not nasty, but I'm messy. I got stuff. I got clean clothes piled up on this sofa over here that I'm looking at, okay? I got a wig on the floor to the left.
Oh, Lord.
You know, it's a lot going on. I done laid out. Okay, go ahead.
It is. Well, I need to be washed. So, to be fair.
Have you found love?
Let me say this. I can't tell you what's going to happen in the show, but... either I'll buy love from one of my castmates or one of these niggas in my DMs. I'm sorry, one of these gentlemen in my DMs.
But.
So what you're saying to our listeners is that they need to be tuning in to Ready to Love.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You should every Friday night on OWN. It's at 8 Central, 9 Eastern and Pacific. Yeah, and it follows the stories of 20 African-American singles who are over the age of 30. Most of us are over 35, who feel that we're ready to love. And each week, someone goes home. The women, we get to eliminate a guy. The guys get to eliminate a woman. Until we're down to three couples who feel that they are ready to love.
Okay, so let's dig into this love piece a little bit more, right? So, do you believe in soulmates?
I do, but I don't think you necessarily end up with yours. And I think even if you don't end up with your soulmate, you could still be all right.
Okay, I got a question. Let's discuss open relationships.
Bust it wide open and you're telling pretty.
So what's your thought on open relationships?
You know what? Okay, I dated this guy for a year and a half, and he wanted to marry me, and I didn't want to marry him. But I knew the only way it would work is if I could have an open relationship, because I would need another boyfriend, because he got on my nerves a lot.
Oh, I'm trying to get it together. Wait a minute. Okay, I'm back. Now, what happened?
Okay, so I guess what I'm saying is, open relationships, I think they only work if you feel like you're settling for your partner in the beginning.
Well, yeah, that's true.
There has to be something missing with your partner. Otherwise, what else do you need somebody to
have? So here's the next question I have then. So if you know there's something missing in their partner, if you find another one that has the whole package, why are we holding on to the old one?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That was my thing. That's why I took my talents elsewhere. And I had to let him know. I said, I think you're wonderful, but I think there's someone else who can love you the way you deserve to be loved. And it's not
so me. It's not you, it's me.
That's
always a good way to end it, right? It's not you. It's not me.
Really nice.
I can't.
And my mama told me, my mom was like, are you sure? Because if you get rid of this, if you let this boy go, he's going to have another girlfriend by Tuesday. I said, yeah, mama, I've been pondering this for a while. I knew that was feasible, but I need to go and do that because I'm never going to get my soulmate while I'm sitting here playing with somebody.
So what are your non-negotiables? Like, what are the things that he just, you know, I can't bend on this? I know on the show you talked about him being financially stable. Like, that's important.
Yes, you're not always going to be financially stable. It's going to ebb and flow. But when we're starting our relationship, you need to have your footing together. Otherwise, you got your priorities mixed up. Okay, he's got to be a leader. Mm-hmm. I have to feel like I can defer to him and he's going to make good choices and not drive me into a ditch. Mm-hmm. And not do the, well, you need to listen to me because I'm a man. Well, if you're a stupid man, I don't have to. I need those strong leadership skills. You do have to be spiritually based. It doesn't necessarily have to be Jesus. It could be Allah. But you need to believe that there's somebody out there bigger and better than you.
That's facts.
That you lean on to for support. Of course, I do have to be sexually attracted. I have to want to see you naked. I want to have a family. And I can't make a family with somebody with my clothes.
That's basic, though.
No,
that is serious.
They got on to me about
that. And it has to be satisfying to it. You know, like it can't just, so like, I mean, that's real talk. And a lot of people ignore that. They just like, oh, you know, dancing around the issue. And you're not having fun. You're not getting satisfied. So that's important.
You know, no.
Right.
We got to make better decisions.
Exactly. And lastly, he has to like me as I am today. If I don't ever change. Mm-hmm. If I stay messy like I am today, I do have a maid, by the way. But if I stay messy or whatever it is, he has to be okay. He has to think my jokes are funny and don't be intimidated by them or don't say, well, she don't know how to act. I know how to act. I be in courtrooms all the time. I'm pretty and I'm ghetto. Leave me alone. I went to Ivy League school for a reason because I knew I needed some credentials behind my name because I say words like regular.
So, okay. When is your birthday? What's your sign?
Oh, so January 4th is my birthday. However, my astrologist told me to tell people I'm a Sagittarius because of my moon rising and this and that.
Because I'm an Aries and you say what I be thinking. And the only reason I hadn't said it is because you beat me to it. I mean, just saying. So speaking of sign, what's your love sign? What's your love language?
Oh, my love language is acts of service. I grew up poor. When you grow up poor, service is crucial. Like for Christmas, my mom would want things like my brother's a musician. She would, when he was like 18, she'd say, well, will you play your guitar in the children's choir, which was like the least cool thing to ever do, but he would do it. And that's how we would give gifts. And my family, so acts of service. And then I was poor, so I also like you to buy me things. Which one is that one? I forget what that is. And then I think words of affirmation. Yeah. I like knowing that he's proud of me and things like that. Not from being pretty, but from being smart. I get irritated. He's like, you're pretty. And I'm like, I'm smart.
Right. Right. So what should we expect from Simone Redwine in the near future?
Oh, goodness. Well, you know, I'm doing more. I feel like part of my purpose is I really enjoy talking about different legal issues, different legal matters. Breaking them down in ways for the everyday person to understand and appreciate them. So you can see more of that. So I'm going to be relaunching my podcast, which is called, Is That Legal?
Ooh, okay.
I like that one.
Yes, it's called Is That Legal? And it's where people can write in or video in their questions about their personal legal questions from, you know, I moved into this brand new apartment. I got roaches in the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. They are everywhere. I have a slumlord. How can I get out? To my boss is driving me crazy. He's wearing out my edges and my patience. How can I get stress leave? And I break down how to get stress leave. Yes, because too many Black folks, I've had multiple firms that I've been at where they give me a difficult partner or a difficult person to work with. And they say, whenever it's really difficult, they say, I'll give it to the Black girl because they think we're Teflon. Let me tell you something. I will throw some pens and pencils all across this room.
Okay. I've been known to throw pennies my day.
Yes, I remember. I was seeing a penny thrown once.
I've been known to throw pennies. You know, and it's so funny. We were just talking about that earlier today about how a lot of times we do get a bad rep of being Teflon. and sturdy and strong, as if we don't have feelings and emotions and don't experience things and get frustrated. Mm-hmm. And I think it's real. I work in a field where I see it all the time, where people have to go out, but they don't even know that they have access, and it's a benefit for them to go out to just take time, chill, and come back refreshed.
Yes. And so I really try and teach and advocate. So basically, it's an infotainment podcast / YouTube channel, where you're going to get, we'll talk celebrity gossip, we'll talk current events and what's going on. Like, for example, Derek Chauvin, one of the George Floyd murderers, mm-hmm. he tried to file for divorce. Okay, the wife tried to file mm-hmm. for divorce, yep. pretty much because she don't like all the heat. The judge said, no, sorry, right. Heffa, no, no. They about to take your money.
Yeah, civil lawsuit.
They gonna take his money. They gonna take your money.
Gonna get everything you got.
Yeah. Yep.
Your kids are gonna end up going to an underfunded public school. Okay, that's what's gonna happen. If I was the lawyer, that's how I do. I don't play. I want generations to feel what you
correct.
Need.
Correct. Mm-hmm. I ain't mad.
Sorry.
I ain't mad. So did you ever?
I get a little heated.
You ever need a special guest for medical matters? Call me. Yeah, I got you.
Oh, absolutely. I sure will. You. Oh, I'm so glad to have met you.
Yes. Yes. Speaking of self-care, what do you do for fun?
So what I really like to do is I love spas. Ooh. Like, you know how they have like Spa Castle? I'm pretty sure that's like a COVID haven.
Spa Castle closed because I used to hang out at Spa Castle.
Oh, okay. Well, so pre-COVID, I like things like that. I also travel. I actually probably had got addicted to travel at one point. Because I would travel, I'd go out of town, not forget my worries, and come back to two mm-hmm. more of them.
Facts.
Like
Facts.
Twice mm-hmm. as many. But so travel was part of my self-care. And then I had to start really combing my hair. That's why I got different type of wigs and stuff. I got to, because I realized when I can tell when I'm really down or depressed, because my hair be looking crazy. Mm-hmm. But if as long as my mm-hmm. hair is looking mm-hmm. nice, I feel better. I relax. And I just started bike riding. I nice. Liked it. I got pink bike is so cute. I like all things cute. I'm a good girl.
Yeah.
I be on my little bike, blowing kisses at home. And shit. Like, hey, boo.
So we ask all of our guest hosts, what is the definition of success to you?
For me, it's what my parents instilled, which is doing just a little bit better than mom and dad, than my parents mm-hmm. did. And that's because they've given you all of their resources plus giving me what they didn't even have when they got second mortgages and this and that. So if I do a little bit better, and so for me, that's making sure I get at least a bachelor's degree mm-hmm. education. I've done and surpassed. Making sure my siblings mm-hmm. are good, which means sometimes I got to read over their contracts mm-hmm. when I don't feel like
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm. I know the feeling.
Right. You use your talents and you share them with your exactly. siblings. So just doing a little bit better. So like, you know, my parents were married. They've been married to each other. They don't have nobody else. So I'm working on one husband. I might have one to two. But, you know, that's success. It's just kind of staying in that room and just building on their legacy mm-hmm. and not, you know, making sure I don't do anything to have it cool. crumble.
I did that one. I like that. Mm-hmm.
A lot.
Now we're going to lead into what, let's be clear.
And this is our holiday edition.
Yes. So this is an opportunity to let our listeners get to know you and your opinion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
So let's be clear. Thanksgiving or Christmas, what's your favorite holiday?
Christmas. This Christmas.
See, yes. I like Thanksgiving because I get to eat a lot better on Thanksgiving.
Oh, I'm going
to
eat at Christmas too.
See, mm-hmm. Christmas is a lot of sweets, though.
Yes.
It's a lot of food.
I like to give gifts. Oh, yeah. But I like to give gifts. Like, my first year out of law school, right, I got money. Okay, I had money. See, it was the recession, but somebody had the nerve to pay me $140,000 to do, I don't know what, but I didn't know nothing out of school. So I gave everybody a gift, right? And they came over to my mom and daddy in them house, right? And I said, okay, everybody, you got to open your gift at the same time. It was like 15 people at the house. One, two, three, surprise. It was a photo of me. Okay, everybody got pictures of me in frame. pictures of me and frames. You heard everything from, oh, I hit the jackpot to, can I give this to what's the guy? Okay, I love giving gifts. And I tell you something, the size of your gift depicts how much I feel you love me. Okay, so if you got a little kitty, if you got like a wallet size, you need to start answering my calls when I call you, text me back when I text you, and stuff like that. That was for my brother, that was for my boy cousin, and they were talking, so we don't want this. I was like, you don't have a choice. You have no job.
Right, you better take what you can get.
Locker. Yeah, put that on your locker. And then my senior citizen uncle, he was like, oh, I'm going to hit the jackpot. I'm gonna put this on my desk at the post office. Awesome. Thank you. Please do it. Let everybody know.
Okay, so dressing or stuffing?
It's a difference.
Yes.
Dress. Okay, all right. Already
there
know
you go. Good answer. Good answer.
You better not do it. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Stuffing is kind of like bland.
It is. So it is. It is. Mm-hmm. And it's only served inside the turkey. You know, dressing, you got to.
Right. I think stuffing is from the Caucasus Mountains, and I really don't fool with that.
Unconscious. Stuff. I done laid
you know
out.
What I mean? Yep. Continue.
Chitterlings or no?
No, thank you.
Also, you and Adrian.
I don't like
butter. Dr. A said the same thing. I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, chitlins, who eats? No.
Chitlins.
You want to talk about cardiac arrest.
We're I'm just saying chitlins with some hot sauce.
We are not slaves anymore, guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, it's good eating. Awesome.
Awesome.
Thank you, Simone.
Thank you so much. I can't wait for your podcast to come out.
All right, Adrian. I think, you know what? I think that we did preach a word to the folks today.
All right.
Good conversation.
Mm-hmm. And we want to hear how you're thriving.
Right.
So
right.
Let us know. What's your definition for success? What does it take for you to thrive? What has been your experience? We want to hear that from you. So share it with us so that we can learn from your experiences and other people, some of our other listeners and thrivers can learn as well.
Right, and look us up on Instagram, Facebook, and send us emails, because we do want to hear your success stories. And, you know, we also want to hear those things that you may be struggling with, because, you know, we may be young, but we've been through a whole lot of trials and tribulations that we can tell you how to overcome some of these humps. I'm just telling you.